and welcome to 88 Brand Partners' inaugural holiday podcast. I'm your host, Michael McGuire, the Elfmeister and CEO here at 88 Brand Partners. Today, we're talking about regifting. Now, before you reminisce about all those gifts that you've been given over the years that you've had to return or donate or throw away, let me warn you, this is very, very different. First, I wanted to introduce to you the 88 Brand team members that I have with me today. And after a conversation with them, we're going to be actually talking to one of our clients who's seen the regifting program in action. We have Anne Flavin, an art director here at 88.
Hello.
Andy Yamashiro, a senior art director at 88.
Hello.
And Elizabeth Patterson, group account director.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for joining me today, guys. As we mark the fourth year of this program, it's become quite clear to many of our clients that we have the regifting program, but really few of them understand why this program exists or how it got started in the first place. So let me give you a quick background. As you can imagine, a company anywhere in the States gets inundated with gifts during the holiday season, whether or not that's tubs of popcorn or tchotchkes. We are getting tons of this sent to our office each day. A number of years ago, we took a look at the material that we were sending our clients, and that was adding to all of the gift giving that was happening. And we thought to ourselves, is there a better way to use these dollars? And more so, are there ways to be able to demonstrate to our clients how we've used our gifts to make an impact in the world? So we sat down with the staff and we charged them with one thing: use the gifts that we've been given by our clients to make an impact in the world around us. And everyone looked confused and bewildered. And 4 years later, it's become a big fabric, a big part of the company culture here at 88. And I'm really excited to have three wonderful employees here to talk about it a little bit with us. So let's talk about the first projects that you guys worked on through the regifting program. That first year, I remember being in the conference room with you all and you all looking very confused. And I remember having one-on-one meetings with everybody to kind of calm you down and talk through the different projects. Can you tell me about what that first year was like, Andy?
Well, the first year, I think we all really glommed onto the idea. We all thought it was like, it's a great idea. And then when rubber met the road, we realized, oh wow, we've got to do a good amount of work to actually make this come true. So the first project that I did was I worked with the Friedman Place, which is up in Rogers Park, and it's a home for the visually impaired. And my logic there was that I get to work with my eyes and have to work with my eyes every day as a graphic designer, as an art director, and not everybody has that ability or is lucky enough to, you know, get to do the work that I do. So I wanted to work with people who had a totally different perspective on the world, one that where vision it takes a back seat. A lot of these people are fully blind or just had visual impairment to the point where most of the world is blurs. So I went ahead and volunteered a day at the Friedman Place, as well as donated my $500 to that organization. And I interviewed a bunch of the residents there, got to learn a little bit about their lives, and then also got to do a little bit of a photo study. So I took my camera with me, did a bunch of portraiture and that sort of thing, and then donated the photos then to the organization to use in their own marketing materials.
Wow, I remember you talking about that for the first time, and I thought, what a great way to be able to marry your passion for photography, the work that you do here at the agency, and the outreach. So that is awesome. Elizabeth, your first year one was a little bit different than Andy's.
Sure, yeah. I have a strong passion for food and cooking, and
which we all love and appreciate.
I grew up in a house where I had a mother who cooked our meals every night and exposed us to different foods, and we went to farmers markets, and I realized not a lot of kids grow up in a house like that. So I chose Purple Asparagus, which is a local Chicago nonprofit who brings food education and nutrition into classrooms. So I had given my $500 to the organization which would provide a month of materials and ingredients for classrooms. Then I spent a half day in a classroom, third grade, with a group of highly energetic kids, and where they learned about the ingredient of the month, which was butternut squash, and then they learned how to prepare a little meal with the butternut squash. They learned about the nutrients in the butternut squash and really exposed them to an ingredient that they may have not already known about. And it was really rewarding because the kids not only learned about healthy food, and they learned about a new ingredient that actually tasted good to them. So it was really rewarding.
Elizabeth, I need you to get you come over to the house and work with the kids in my
home. I can try.
My two kids. So, and I know you weren't there for that first year, but you jumped in year two when you joined the agency. Can you talk a little bit about how your 3 years of working with the program have evolved and which out of the three you found to be the most rewarding or challenging?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think when I first started, what was clear is that the most successful regiftings are when you take something that you're actually really passionate about and you apply it to your gift. So I think over the years, what my goal has kind of evolved to be is to take something that I'm actually genuinely passionate about, and then I'll get a better result. So one of my favorites, before I was a designer, I was a teacher.
I love this story. This is one of my favorites.
I was an art teacher at a middle school in Cincinnati, Ohio. And the one thing that I find I use in my daily life as a designer is critical thinking. And all the time my students would be like, why is art important? Why does this matter? And it was so frustrating to me that they couldn't see the value in what they were doing and that they were teaching them skills, you know, that last the rest of your life. It's something that I use every day. We all use it every day. And so I partnered with a teacher at Plainfield Elementary who I met through a friend. And I made for her classroom what's called a maker box or a maker space, which is kind of a trend in education that's taking off to really teach students about critical thinking. So I put together a huge box of tons of different types of art materials, Legos, things that have nothing to do with art. And it's just a way for them to sit down with the boxes and just explore different tools in ways that they never would have thought to before. So I did that, and then I bought all the students sketchbooks and markers and different ways that they could kind of just explore sketching and things like that, which was a lot of fun. So it was my little piece of education that I spread on.
Who needs a tin of popcorn? These are awesome. These are awesome. Well, it's 2018, and it's a new year, and I know that the elves are out there making a difference in our community. Can you guys give us a couple sneak peeks on what to expect for 2018? Andy.
Well, the thing is that Anne and I are actually working together this year. So this is the first time I've partnered
How
up.
How convenient.
I know. Yeah.
So two birds with one stone. Basically, we decided to pool our money together and our quote-unquote talents. And we decided to design a planner / coloring book for an organization called Chicago Books for Women in Prison. This organization most often actually collects books to donate to women in prison. And when we approached them, they expressed a desire to have something a little bit more custom. So something that the inmates really enjoy and that's therapeutic for them is coloring books. So we know that's been a trend for the last couple of years amongst adults as far as a meditative, relaxing practice to do at home or at the office. And apparently it works really well with these inmates. So we planned on doing that, but then we wanted to give a dual purpose and kind of stretch out the life of this. So we decided to do a calendar / planner. So we are laying out, designing, and illustrating this planner and then going to actually produce it in-house and then donate it along with our funds. What else did I miss?
And I see you getting the anxiety coming up. How is the process going and doing? That's a ton of work.
Yeah. So Andy and I kind of split it up where I luckily am doing a lot of the illustrations, and which are supposed to mean to be really calming for the inmates to do. But I've found that it's also very calming to make. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little stress free in the process.
She's going to go back to her desk and do some coloring.
So the repetitive nature of just kind of making designs like that and coloring them has been therapeutic.
That's awesome. Wait a second. I want to make sure I got this. So we've got female inmates. We've got food with kids. We've got people who are visually impaired. We've got kids in schools doing art and cognitive smart things. And they're all doing this as just part of four stories we just heard about. That is incredible. Elizabeth, is year four another food? I mean, you got it.
Surprise, everybody. But yes, clearly it's a passion of mine, and it's important to expose people to a food experience. So this year I've chosen Inspiration Cafe, which is part of the Inspiration Corporation here in Chicago. The cafe is up in Uptown, north of the city of Chicago, and it's a cafe. It's run like a restaurant, and people who have had some trouble in their lives, who may be homeless, they're able to come in for a full gourmet meal. And it is prepared by the volunteers. They are served in like you would be served in any restaurant. And, you know, I think we all take for granted going out for a meal, even if it's just a casual meal. And these people, you know, they deserve a little bit of nice interaction with people and be able to sit down for a nice warm meal. So I will be going to the Inspiration Cafe and will be cooking in the kitchen with their head chef for a few hours and preparing dinner for and interacting with the Chicago community.
Well, I got to tell you, if Elizabeth is there cooking it all, it's going to be good food. So they are very
it'll be a challenge.
They're very lucky. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that this program has really made a big difference this time of year. When I look back on the first year where everybody was kind of grumbling and grousing and procrastinating, now it's turned into something that the staff here at 88 really look forward to. And some of them develop long relationships with these organizations, and they continue volunteering. And that just keeps the goodwill and gesture going. So I think it's a really wonderful program that we've got here. And I say that because I started it. But how about you guys? What are your thoughts as an employee working here and what the program is?
Yeah, I think that it's all challenged us in a way that we needed a little nudge, and because we all have good intentions to give back, but the first year we did regifting or participate in regifting, you know, I was looking for something to be involved in, and it kind of gave me a push to find an organization that meant something to me. So, and throughout the past few years, same. It comes around every year, and I find some new organization that needs some help.
And is it difficult to find these types of organizations? I mean, like, do you really have to dig in, or is it something that you're looking for throughout the year, or do you use online searches, or how do you find these great organizations?
Yeah, kind of a mix of both. And I think that I'm part of our regifting committee. So it's something that's kind of on my mind all year long. And we come up with different ways to help people who are maybe struggling to find something. Online is obviously a really good resource. You can search, you know, any interest that you have in some way to give back. But I think also throughout the year, we're always just kind of thinking like, oh, that would be a really good idea. We should suggest this to Elizabeth because it has something to do with food, you know, something like that. So we're always thinking about it throughout the year. And, you know, this is my third year doing it. So I definitely start thinking, I'm like already thinking about what I want to do next year and kind of building on things that we have done in the past.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's also great to give to all these great communities and organizations throughout the community. And it's great reporting back here. But really where we close the loop is really the fact that then we package all of this stuff up, all these stories in communications. And throughout December, we share them back to our clients with the explanation that it was really their their confidence in us that inspired us to do this work. It's really, they're at the heart of, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do this work. All right, our next segment includes a conversation with one of my most favorite people, and luckily we get to work together. Eileen Zampa, who works for North Shore University Health System and has been a client of ours for almost 10 years, which is pretty crazy to think about. Eileen, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Michael?
I am good. Eileen, we've been talking about our regifting program, and as one of our clients, you guys have been part of our regifting family for the last 4 years. I'd love for you to share a little bit about how that first program 4 years ago, how that was received and how it's been received in subsequent years.
Yeah, happy to share. I think initially when you created the regifting program, it was very refreshing from a client's perspective to hear and to see the commitment that you all have to, one, doing something different, and two, to giving back. That is much more meaningful to me than anything that I receive as a kind of client thank you gift. It's always nice to get together with people and share experiences, but to hear the commitment and the personal kind of value statements that the regifting program illustrates is much more meaningful. So it's very refreshing, I think, when you started it and kind of demonstrated your creativity in a way that we don't get to see every day.
I was telling a story earlier that, you know, in years past, we've given away tchotchkes. I think one year we had bottles of spice, and here in the office there were funnels pouring bulk spice into jars, and it was crazy and insane. And I thought, in the chaos of all of that, I'm not even sure any of this is even being noticed or cutting through the clutter of the boxes and boxes that keep coming at the holiday time. So cutting through that clutter was a big part of the program. Talk to me a little bit, you know, you work day to day with different 88 team members all the time. How has learning about their regifting programs helped you get to know them more?
It's an interesting question that is very endearing when you see what people's commitments are outside of the office. I certainly have connected with a few team members on kind of mutually shared interests, music and classical music being one of them. So that is always nice to see how it plays out with the regifting program, people's personal interests, how it kind of intersects with your own interests, and you know, just gives different dimensions to people that you work with on a regular basis that you may not know.
Well, it's interesting that you'd bring up the classical music, because I think there's one story that you were particularly interested in as it came out. Do you want to tell us about Barb's program from last year?
Yeah, so the funny thing is I remember you and I having a conversation prior to Barb starting, and because you knew of my interest in music and
Absolutely.
Classical music, and you're saying to me, I think you guys are really going to connect over this issue. And we kind of, you know, as we met, had some conversation about shared interests. But then her regifting that year caught my attention because it was specifically around her passion for music. With an organization that my husband and I have since become involved with, Sadie Records. And I think that seeing her regifting program of getting some artists through Sadie to come into local schools that don't have funding or resources to have fully developed music programs was really very special, because I connect with music, I connect with classical music. I know many people don't have the opportunity to do it, to see artists that the quality that Sadie records. And so it really kind of struck home with me to see that she took that extra step to get some musicians and get them into the schools, allow them to interact with the kids and talk about their passion and share it with them.
What's crazy about that particular story is that the relationship between Sadie and the elementary school is one that continues on. So it is a relationship that was formed through the regifting program, but has become a partnership and a collaboration year over year. So we were really excited to see how that relationship kind of blossomed. So that's one of my favorites too. I think, you know, when you think about business and you know, the day-to-day kind of slug that kind of goes with projects coming in and projects coming out, can you talk to me a little bit about the impact of the program on you personally? I'd love to get your perspective on that.
I think personally it's very reassuring to know that there are business owners and business leaders that want to do something that makes a difference. I work for a non-for-profit by choice and kind of believe in our mission, but not all of the people that you work with on a day-to-day basis have that type of vision for their own business, and you certainly bring that to 88, and I think that is personally very, like I said, reassuring. It kind of, in a time in the world when there's not a lot of positive things going on and sometimes it's hard to find them, this to me is a very tangible example of someone who's setting kind of the direction for all the people that you work with and saying that this matters and that what they believe in and giving back matters. And I just think there needs to be more of that. So it's very positive personally to see that.
Well, thank you for that. I think what the very rewarding thing for me is really what I do is just pass out money. The inspiration is all theirs. And it's a little bit like planting seeds but not knowing what the seeds are until the plants come up out of the ground. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's a radish. Oh my gosh, that's a tomato. And it's a little bit like that. They all come back with stories and relationships, and they all get excited telling their stories. And, you know, relatively speaking, $500 per employee is really not that much in the grand scheme of things. And what it does for the staff, what it does for our clients, and what it does for the Chicagoland area is pretty incredible. And it is a small, small part of what everybody can be doing this time of year to make an impact here in our community. So I've got one more question for you. Since the topic of regifting is this podcast, I'd love to hear, what was the last gift that you got that you were forced to regift because it was just that bad? Do you have a good one for me?
I do. So my family has a gift exchange with cousins and like first and second cousins, and it's a $10 minimum, right? So it's always kind of tricky to get something that inexpensive. And one year I got a pair of, and I'm not exaggerating, the old-fashioned fuzzy slippers, pink slippers.
Nice.
Like that fit around your whole foot and like look a little bit like a bathroom rug.
You have to shuffle. You have to shuffle in them, right? Because if you lift your foot, they'll come out of them.
Exactly. And they actually almost were too unattractive to regift, but I did regift them as another joke gift in another gift exchange to a niece who appreciated how comical they were.
I will tell you, it's those types of gifts that have the longest life of all because they just keep getting passed from one person to the next person to the next person. So it is a regifting bonanza example there too. So I truthfully, in knowing you fairly well, I don't think pink in footwear is what I would choose for you. So I think it was a wise choice. So well, thanks so much for joining us. This was a really great conversation, and we're really excited about sharing our 2018 regifting program with you all. There are some crazy things that the staff has up their sleeve that I think is really going to up the game. So I'm going to be excited for you to see those stories coming up here just a couple weeks.
Well, I am definitely looking forward to it. It's a bright spot in the holiday season for me as well.
Awesome. 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 Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye. For those of you who are wanting to hear about these projects and their stories and many, many, many more this year, you can go to our website, www.88brandpartners88. That's www.88brandpartners.com. You can learn much more about the program. Through 88's Brand Partners Regifting Program, we have been able to donate almost $50,000 to programs here in Chicago over the last 4 years. That's pretty incredible. And these stories are awesomely inspirational. And you can read about these. And if you're like my mother, she reads one each morning to get inspired for the day. So however you digest, please come to the website and check it out and learn about our stories. And if there's any of these charitable organizations that you seem interested in, please reach out to them and get involved yourself. This is how this movement works. So as we move through the holidays and into the new year, I invite you to remember that it doesn't take a lot of money to make a big difference. I'm Michael McGuire. Thanks for listening.